my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, I think you need to revoke my picking choice every month now.
It is now 3 Patreon picks a week. A month.
Yeah. Chris is not allowed to. I've had a red card. So I said in the last episode, I spent ages, 2 hours the other day before we actually, you know, came to the clue what we're going to do, looking at trailers. And Sam's saying, what are you watching? Because you can just hear like my fucking AirPods booming, different things. So I'm trying to watch a trailer. I don't know what I'm going to pick for a movie. And I thought, I've got to pick a shit show. And I came across this movie a few weeks ago. And I said to you, I've got one. And it's actually on Prime. And it's still on Prime, everyone. So please fucking download it to your phone or whatever. It says it all, really, Dave. Because usually, what I love about the Prime, when you watch it on your phone or on the TV, there's a great, I've said it before, there's a great trivia box you can press. And it'll tell who the characters are. I feel like IMDb, but it's there live and current. The only thing that's fucking... The only trivia thing about this whole movie, and it's not his fucking wig, is the fact that Brutus the Barber Beefcake is the bouncer, Dave. And that's about it. That's the only bit of trivia through the 90 minutes. So anyway, I saw this. I thought, this looks like fucking Lethal Weapon, Rambo, Commando ripoff. We've got to fucking cover it. But it's starring Hulk Hogan in the 1998 straight to fucking video, should have been straight to the bin, The Ultimate Weapon. So Dave, I know you've never seen it before, but have you got anything to say about this one?
Well, first off, Chris, I'm going to be a bit controversial here, because I know like you have various handles with the Hulkster and Hulk Hogan and everything, and I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, but I've never fucking liked Hulk Hogan. Never. Right, so 10 years prior to this, 10-ish years, it might have been 89 actually when it all started. All the wrestling started coming on to that early version of Sky, I think I've mentioned before, and it was just larger than life. And so I loved the fucking wrestling, but I couldn't understand the obsession with Hulk Hogan. I just didn't get it. So for me, I was a fan of like the Ultimate Warrior, and he had these larger than life characters. But then I would put Hulk Hogan in the same bracket as Jim fucking Duggan, right? In terms of being annoying, because he'd just turn up and then, you know, everyone would go nuts for him like he's this massive fucking hero. And I just didn't get it. And I'd watch him and he looks kind of awkward moving around the ring. Sure enough, he's tall and, you know, he's big, but he wasn't defined. And it's just, you know, and he'd do this fucking stupid, like, you know, he'd be down, he'd get one, you know, fake punch to the jaw. And then he's like, oh, I'm out. Oh, and I've got no energy. And then suddenly out of nowhere, he gives the eyes, doesn't he? And he looks at the crowd, he purses his lips and he's like, oh, oh. And then starts shaking his fist and the crowd are going, yay, yay, it's so good. Oh, Hulk, he's got his energy. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. I just didn't ever get it. And you know what? So having that early bias that I just didn't like him, anything about his style or anything, and to learn a bit more in later years about what an absolute dick he was. You know, we talk about wrestling being fake, but ultimately the punishment these guys go through just to even get to something like, it's the WWE now, but always be the WWF to me. The way they have to take the steroids, they have to get bigger and bigger, you know, to be on that stage. And then they have to get more and more extreme and you know, they just end up crumpled. Have you seen that? You must have seen that documentary with Jake the Snake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, such a sad kind of existence, really, isn't it? When you go off that top tier and you're just in these crappy fucking hotels and stuff, going around, you know, wrestling pretty much every night in these smaller venues. And I just to think back, so I was coming to the point there. So the fact that you had Jesse Ventura, who after being on Predator and having a, you know, running man and stuff, and being exposed to these things called unions, you know, as part of the Actors Guild and whatever, he's like, oh, fucking hell, these union things are quite good, and tried to get all the wrestlers, you know, rallied and let's get a union. Oh, fucking Hulk Hogan, well, that'd be a threat to him because he was top dog, wasn't he? So, you know, dobs him in, and then, you know, fucking that was the kibosh on that. So, you know, that's why, again, you fucking wrestling, you know, the amount of money sloshing around there should be unions for these guys. I think the way they're discarded is disgraceful. And yeah, I think Hulk Hogan has a big fucking part in playing on where we are today with it. And yeah, so ultimately, Chris, piece of shit human being, don't like him.
Well, Dave, it's called hulking up when he gets his mad up, because he usually getting choked out, and it's the ref comes over and goes, oh, his arm's been up.
That's it.
The second time. Yeah. Then the third one, the big finger comes up, which is why everyone in the crowd had the Hulk Hogan big fingers. And if Gorilla Monsoon was being the commentator, he would call it the Intentional Fortitude, the Hulk's hulking up, and he'd do all that shit. However, Dave, I'm with you. What's interesting, and you're right, I've said it when we did No Holds Barred, but all my gaming tags since 2005, since online was born, so 18 years ago, have always been Hulkamania 78, always. And even everyone, you know, my friends, even my fucking brother, my nephew now, because we play online, just call me Hoagie. Even in real life, Dave, you know, met fucking family gathering the other day, my nephew and my brother call me Hoagie, and Sam's like, why the fuck did he still keep calling you Hoagie? Don't even look like Hogan, do I? I've not got muscles like Hogan. But when I was like 10, 11, when I really got into the wrestling, and you would see on a Saturday afternoon, you get fucking Big Daddy, Giant A-Stacks, Kendo Nagasaki, and then they go, yeah, and let's show a bit of American wrestling. And they started showing like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. So I sort of knew of the WWF, but I didn't really hit it until like 1990, when one of my friends had a, in fact, it might be 91 actually, because WrestleMania 7 and SummerSlam 91. At Royal Rumble 91 and WrestleMania 7, and he had them together, and Ultimate Warrior got beat. But Ultimate Warrior was my favourite. He was without doubt my favourite wrestler out of all of them, like you said. Honestly, he was. But Hogan was one of these ones that I understood. He was the champ. He was the top dog. So I remember when, I've said to you before, when I got the Blockbuster, the titles, year-long rent off my granddad when he decided he didn't want to...
Oh, yeah.
He got sick
Global
of rent.
Or something.
Yeah, Global. I think it was titles in Old Trafford, and he had the full year of renting a video out every night, as I've said before. And then after a couple of months, he just went, I can't fucking do this anymore. We're sick of watching movies. And he'd give it me. So I would walk 2 miles a day, a mile there, a mile back, and I would get every wrestling, because they were PG then, you know, and some were 15, but I'd get away with 15 when I was like 12. It was quite tall. And I went down like a history then of watching all the old stuff, like all the stuff like WrestleMania 1, 2.
Right,
I had
right.
everything. I had every, watched them all. I used to buy the magazines. I had the top trumps, fucking WWF one. And it had the best two were Ultimate Warrior and Hogan, because they had I had the Marvel ones as well, which is really strange considering not like a massive fan like you guys were with the comic stuff. But I remember Galactus was the best one because he was 60 feet tall, but he had Unknown and Silver Surfer. They were the two best ones over all of them because they had like Unknown powers and you could win. But then for all the wrestlers, so Hogan and Warrior were like gold dust if you got them in your top trumps. And yeah, he was just one of them figures. I love the comeback. I think that's what it is. I love it in films when someone's down and they come back. So I love the idea of Hogan. But you're right, Dave. I know everything about Hulk Hogan. I was watching an interview with him the other day on YouTube with a comedian called Theo Vaughn, who's really funny. But he's got his own platform. And he interviewed Hogan a couple of weeks ago and went to see him. And like every Monday now, Hogan does Hogan's Beach Club, and he has a fucking karaoke thing with his missus. He's on his third wife now, another girl she's got about three kids now. She's not even 40, some blonde piece, but they all look like his daughter, Brooke. His first wife, Linda, and obviously Brooks is, you know, it's her daughter. But then the two he's had since both look like Brooks. As Bevan used to say, why is he with a woman? Exactly. And she was about the same age as Brooke as well, his second wife, after he split up with Linda.
Oh, God.
But yeah, Hogan's not a good person. And around this time, in 98, he was still in WCW. This is so he didn't want to take his... He told him he's not wearing a shirt in this movie. That's why he's got, like, shirts open or vests on. They ended up compromising. He wore a tank top. Because he was in, this was his peak fitness, like, as in, he got, like you were saying, he wasn't always ripped up. He did when he hulked up, but he was always a bit of weight on him, like in Rocky and stuff like that through the 80s. He was a big fucker, wasn't he? But he wasn't ripped. But in WCW, and probably going into WrestleMania 18, went back to WWF in about 2003, 2002, he was at his peak physically. So he did look like he'd actually sort of followed the nutrition stuff. But as you can see in this movie, and we'll get into it, politics in wrestling, Hulk Hogan is the grandmaster, Dave, because he had clauses in his contracts in a fake fucking fight that he wouldn't lose because it compromised his character and everything and all this. So he's not a good person. Some of the things he's done over the years, friends he's alienated, everything, you know, he has played the game. He may be humble now, he's nearly 70, but you can still see watching the interviews, he's still got it in him to be a fucking nasty bastard. So, yes, I understand why you don't like him. Loads of wrestling fans do not like Hulk Hogan, especially all the racism stuff over the last few years. That's fair comment as well, and I totally get it. He got caught literally fucking saying stuff, didn't he? And got cancelled. Yeah, he got cancelled.
Oh,
I said it last time, didn't I?
I remember now. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
He's not a good person, Dave, in some respects at all. But he's had a massive fucking payout from, it was the Gawker website, which died because they had that film, a film of him shagging this guy called Bubba Love Sponge, his missus, and Bubba Love let Hogan shag him. It was Shaggy's missus. And he filmed it. And then Hogan's there with his fucking shrimp dick out there. So there's always a fucking, you know, me and you should never worry about that. He was getting some, lollipop action, shall we say. And it made me feel better about myself. But he's a big bloke as well. So maybe it wasn't in context. Maybe it wasn't in context to the size of his body. But he looks in good shape now. He's training again.
Can't train that, can you?
No, you can't.
Do you remember the spitting image where they had the Arnie puppet?
No,
and he was singing about having a little dick, and he couldn't train it.
It's true.
I've tried to find it on YouTube, but I've not been able to find it. Pretty sure it wasn't a fever dream.
No, it probably was true. But yeah, not a good person, Dave, at all. So I totally understand where you're coming from on that. It's just Hulkamania stuck with me.
I love how the redemption is the thing that grabbed you and it sucked you in there, and yet there was a revelation sometime later that, you know, wrestling wasn't real.
Yeah, like, stop it.
I was a kid, I'm, you know, looking at this, and I think that was the other thing that turned me away from Hulk Hogan was he's just a fucking terrible actor, and I'm sure we'll walk on this ground again. You know, so when you watch some of the other matches, because I used to like, when you'd have some no-mark, some journeyman who you'd never heard of.
Terrible, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you're fighting, let's say, Rowdy Roddy Piper or something like that. You know, you can believe most of it. You know, I mean, you've got this over-the-top character, but the actual wrestling moves and stuff like that, it's sort of believable. I never understood the, the punches. I'm like, we can all see you stamping on the floor. I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I guess you go with it. But there was a plausibility to it. Whereas, like you say, what did you call hulking out, did you say?
Hulking out, hulking up.
Yeah. It was just like, it was so ridiculous. It just took me out of it completely. So, yeah, the terrible acting was also the thing that turned me away from him. And, like I say, we will come back to that.
yeah, we will. Dave, shall we get into the trailer?
Do we have to?
Well, the sooner we get it done, the sooner it's over for you. So good.
In that case, good point. Let's go.
For most men,
we want a clean takedown.
War is a dangerous game. But for mercenary Ben Cutter...
I'm an independent contractor for the NSC. I get suggestions, not orders.
It's just another day at the office.
The weapons in that complex were worth $20 million. I want their names.
I'm here to see my daughter.
You have absolutely no right to say a single word to me.
After tonight, your father's going to want me much more than I want him.
And the guy tries to rape me to get back at you.
Where's McBride?
I'm a mean boy.
But it's not a good cigar.
I'm Dylan McBride.
The man that tried to rape my daughter.
Just a trick to get you here, and it worked.
I think you miscalculated.
When they made it personal, he made it professional.
There's one thing you need to learn. Don't piss me off.
Terry Hulk Hogan is the ultimate weapon.
When mercenary Hardball Cutter discovers that the team he is working with is actually a group of IRA gunrunners, he decides to put a stop to their plans. Furious with Cutter, the gunrunners target him, his partner, and his family. Now, Chris, I should have done that in the trailer guy voice. What do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
It's even an opening to it. So it starts off, and this feels like they pulled together, and Hogan's gone, right, I've got, and he did have a contract because Ted Turner was the one who owned WCW. He ended up doing all these films. He did Tropic and Thunder TV series on Baywatch, but he did a lot of these straight to the bin, fucking pound shop, fucking movies. And honestly, the music's a Terminator ripoff anyway, and he's got, without doubt, he's not got the handlebar moustache, the Hulk Hogan goatee thing. He's not got that. He's got a proper fucking porno fucking tash where they've made it a bit ginger and the worst fucking Irish jig we've ever seen. Why is he wearing a fucking wig? They should have just shaved his fucking hair off and gone with that, because he cut his hair short for this. I remember them saying, but that wig he's got on, it makes no sense to put this fucking, like, Ivan Drago flat top on him. It just looks ridiculous. And he looks well old in this, doesn't he, Dave? He looks, it's like they've gone John Matrix, fucking Rambo, and tried to put them all together in this character. And honestly, it is fucking terrible, this movie. It really is. But the wig is glorious.
Yeah, you can see the glue on his head, can't you? Because even in fucking Rocky III, you know, he's bald, isn't he? And
yeah.
He's bald, but he's got a mullet. Like, it's just a weird combination. And I guess, yeah, he's just always... You say he looks old, but I guess in some respects, it's like, you know, you're talking almost 20 years after doing Rocky III.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look that different to me. You know, like I say, apart from the hair, I guess he's always looked old because of his hairline, I guess. And then he's sort of grown into his face, his leathery fucking face. So for me, you mentioned Terminator and Rambo, but I just think whoever's written this and certainly the costuming and everything, and the whole premise, the story, they've just looked at fucking Commando. And yeah. Gone, right, let's take Commando. And basically what we're going to do, we're going to make Hulk Hogan, Arnie. We're going to make him John Matrix. And that's it. Wig department, get me an Arnie flat top. Right, we'll go for that. We've got to make sure that he's got the guns out. So when he holds a gun, he looks like Arnie in Predator. You know, and, oh, Chris, this movie is... really not good, but I mean, that was what you were going for, so I think you've hit the mark there. When it starts off, you have this weird sequence where his daughter, you know, they're escaping from this gang or whatever, and then she falls, I don't know, seemingly to a death, you know, slowly down this hill, but it's never addressed again.
No,
I mean, he's kind of estranged from his daughter, but it looks like you know, she's died, or, you know, maybe she's been captured or something. Like I say, he's just never fucking really addressed again.
No, and he wakes up, doesn't he? He's in the barn from this. But you're right, yeah. Why is she slipping? It's like they're on the edge of a cliff somewhere or a mountain top, doesn't it? You know,
but
like
you can
one
tell
of them,
it's just like a hill, and he's like agonizingly, you know, just get up off your on your feet and like walk down and grab her.
Yeah, you can get her, and he's about to be shot. And then what's weird is like his girlfriend, when he wakes up and he's in, like, and he goes, and she's there, he's dead arse. I think his character, yeah. So he's called Ben Cutter, you say Cutter, Ben Cutter, and everyone keeps saying Ben Cutter throughout the fucking movie. They must say his name like 30 times so we know what he's called. Great fucking wrestling name, by the way, Dave. Ben Cutter. You can imagine going, I'm Lumberjack Ben Cutter, you know, fucking some stupid carries a big fucking act around with him or somewhere. And he's dead arsey with her, dead like misogynistic, like, and she's like having a pop at him, and he gets the phone call to save the world, and she's having a go at him going, oh, I'm sick of this. And he's like, but that's his fucking job.
I was going to say,
what,
like,
do you think pays for all this? You're fucking not working, and you're dicking around a fucking this massive fucking farm with big barns and that. How do you think pays for it? He's not fucking selling potatoes down the local town, is he? It's fucking weird, the dialogue.
That is exactly what I was thinking. I was like, that is his job. And like you say, yes, he could give that up. Do you want to give up all the luxury items that you no doubt have? No. Didn't think so. So, you know, I was kind of on Ben Cutter's side with that particular interaction, to be honest.
Yeah, and also, Dave, when he gets the call, the music then turns to Lethal Weapon rip-off music. Because from nowhere, he gets the call that he's got to go on a mission. Why they would tell his missus anyway? He's fucking, you know, he's supposed to be like, you know, for your eyes only. Nobody's supposed to know what he's doing. But his wife, or his soon-to-be wife, is fully fucking in on what's going on. They just like it's his secretary. But then he doesn't travel far, and he's got this fucking green vest on, and you can clearly see now Hogan, realistically, they reckon realistic at his peak he was about 6'4", maybe 6'5", but he wore raises. So when he fought Andre the Giant wasn't 7'4", he was 6'10",
yeah,
same height as the Undertaker. But they used to say 7'4" because he wore raises. So when they fought, obviously at WrestleMania 3, Hogan was billed as 6'8" and he was billed as 7". He isn't. Hogan's about 6". They reckon he's about my height now, about 6'2" now. He's really has lost a lot of height. But at his peak, he was about 6'4", 6'5". But he's clearly pulled. I'm not having anybody in this movie who, one, is taller than me, got bigger muscles than me. Yeah. He's about a foot taller than all these soldiers, isn't it? All the way through, he gets out. The old bloke pulls they pull a gun on each other. And there's this weird dialogue where you know they're going to start laughing. And he's got a fucking stick, this guy. And he's like pulling it. And they're doing this game of fucking chicken. And I'm like, oh, really? Come on. And it looks like, it doesn't look like an army compound. It looks like there's some paintball fucking places.
Yeah.
There's one near me, exactly the same. They've got a little fucking manhole that he goes down, and that's like fucking the base where all the fucking, you know, the satellite stuff's on and all this. But Cutter's walking through, and he's fucking massive compared to everyone else, Dave. It's like they've hired a load of fucking rather vertically challenged people, shall we say. Because I was going to say the M-word, but I don't think you can say that anymore, Dave.
right. Oh my god, walking around the set of Time Bandits or something.
Willow or something.
So I thought the same thing about, you know, the sway that he has, the clauses he'd have, you know, and you know, about who's cast and whatever. And I don't think that is ever more obvious than the casting of Cobra. In fact, just before we get on to Cobra.
Dean, yeah.
Right, Dean. So before we get on to that, though, I think the interaction with the top dog there, did you not think that was just, again, the interaction with Carl Weathers, Arnie Carl Weathers on Predator, you know, which you see the handshake, you know, multiple times in a day, you know, memed again and again. I just thought, again, the way it was shot, the particular scenes, the fact that, you know, he's got this, you know, he's through his job, Cutter's putting his daughter in danger. That was straight from Commando. But when they talk about Cobra, and I thought Cobra was dead. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, well, this is a fucking resurrection and a half, isn't it? What's going to happen here? And then you see what is like a fucking Paul Simon lookalike fucking running around. And you're like, oh, you are having a laugh. You've got fucking... I mean, Hogan, like you say, to be fair, I think he does look pretty good in this. And he does, you know, when he's got the guns out and stuff, he's got that definition on him. You know, he definitely, you can believe he's an 80s / 90s action hero, can't you? But come on, put someone who's believable in his sidekick role as well. No, not a fucking knockoff musician. Like, so Carl Moret, you know, he's played by it, and he just doesn't fucking look like anything to be worried about at all. But, you know, they have this race, don't they? And so he wins his respect through, you know, being really good at this race. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not fucking having this at all. And I thought manipulation as soon as I saw that casting. And, you know, you at least wanted someone who, you know, looked hard as nails. Like, say you stick a Jason Statham in that role, Chris. You know, it's different then, isn't he? Because... again, Statham isn't wrestler big, but, you know, he looks fucking nails, doesn't he? And, you know, you could believe him in this role of Cobra. But, yeah, Carl Moret, sorry, mate, I'm not having it.
I'm the same. When he was doing that little fucking shuttle run, and then obviously fucking the fucking whoever he is, the captain and fucking Cutter are there, and he says something to him, and then the one who's the drill sergeant has a go at him because he misses his last target, and he's like, oh man, he goes, he was talking to me, and he takes his top off. And like you say, he looks like we should have been in fucking Office Space, Dave, that we did the other week. He is. Like you say about Jason Statham. So I watched Hobbs and Shaw at the cinema. The Rock is fucking massive. He's about 6'3", 6'4". And Jason Statham's about 5'11". But Jason Statham's fought The Rock in the movies. He's a martial arts expert in real life. He is in the movies. He's ripped up. It's believable that they could go toe-to-toe. They've done it before in Fast and Furious and all that sort of thing. You can believe it. You're totally right. So it's almost like you would have Arnie and Michael Biehn in Terminator, even though you know physically he can't compete and he's a robot. Yeah. But if they were in this sort of movie, he can still hold his own. This Dean guy is just like they've got Hogan's gone. We need the puniest fucking guy we've ever seen. And he's the most unrealistic because he's going on about his dad, who's obviously worked with Cutter in the past and all this. Yeah, he took the name. And it's like, he's fucking rubbish. He's absolutely garbage as an assassin and stuff. It's just ridiculous. And when they do, you can see Hogan, he's struggling. When they're doing the actual like assault course thing, Hulk Hogan's massive. There's no fucking way he's getting up and down them ropes. And he can probably get up and, but not in a quick manner. You can see now, like you said about him being mobile, these videos actually from Hogan when he was in Japan, say early 80s, and he was a very good wrestler, very technical wrestler, you know, like a Bret Hart type wrestler and stuff like that, which you wouldn't think for Hogan. There's a couple of matches. But when he was in America, all he wanted, once he got big, was power moves, body slam, leg drop, 1, 2, 3, go home. That's what sold Hogan as just this monster because he didn't have a big move set. John Cena's the same as a wrestler. Not a lot of moves. He was all about power moves because he was like, John Cena's super strong. He's stronger than Hogan. He's really strong. But he never had any moves in his arsenal. So he was always about 5 or 6 move sets. And in this, you can see he doesn't move very well. Even when he's got a run, you can see after 10 yards, he's like, oh, fuck me, I'm fucked here. There's no way he's on a boot camp to get fit. But yeah, that whole scene with the assault course is fucking ridiculous. But then through the movie, Dean is trying to get his fucking, you know, getting his good graces, isn't he? As like his right-hand man. And the story, Dave, fuck me, I could have written it on the back of a stamp. And I know stamps have got barcodes now, so there's not much room anyway, but fucking hell, is it thin, this. This is just a generic... I mean, it's that bad. On Rotten Tomatoes, there's not even an audience score. There's no audience score. There's no tomato meter. It's 3.5 on IMDb. I mean, people have just gone, I'm not even reviewing this shit. It's fucking brilliant.
No, to be fair, I mean, this isn't as bad as some of the other things we've reviewed.
It's not horrendous. No, it's not horrendous. But I think I'm more in the point of because they've ripped everything off any action movie before, that's what I struggle with. But as a film, it's not actually a bad film.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, the way it's shot I mean, like you say, it's on Prime. It's obviously added a little bit of a digital touch-up there, and I think it looks okay. And I think because it feels so familiar, because it's copied off everything else, I think gives it some kind of... You're sort of invested in it, you know, even though there's zero that is original about it. I'm wanting to know what happens, you know. I am sort of invested. But, I mean... Some of the dialogue, Chris, when he's trying to find his daughter, and he comes to the place where he's looking for his daughter, and the guy's there, and he's like, "You can't have my stash." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure drug dealers don't talk that way." And then, you know, you've got the girl who's like pointing the gun at him, and I'm thinking, "Oh, I wonder if that's his daughter, and she's pretending not to be his daughter." No, just. And I love that as well. Like, you've got this clearly very beautiful person, but you give them a punky hairstyle and some messy makeup, and apparently they're a junkie kind of thing. But then, Chris, I mean, we get to the work establishment of his daughter.
Wait a minute. Sorry. I need to just backtrack there. I think right. Sorry to go back. But when he goes to... So one thing I wanted to say, when he meets the ponytail, the Irish fucking contractor, who's clearly got the worst Irish accent since Gen X day, when we watched... Not Gen X, what's it called? That fucking... Is it Generation X? It was,
Generation
wasn't it?
X, the TV movie.
And he is Irish. His fucking accent's terrible. But that guy with the ponytail...
Wasn't he Canadian or something? Banshee.
Yes, it was. And he had that accent where he was like, "Hello, dear." You know, like one of them. It was a terrible accent.
Looking for his lucky charms.
Yeah, his lucky charm. But it's when he meets the Irish guy and he's chatting to him, and he's just chatting to him going, "Yeah, it's great to be working with you. You know, you'll be a great asset to my team." And he goes, "Let's get something straight. I'm a private contractor. I don't work for nobody. I take no orders." And I'm like, oh my God, this is Hogan flexing his fucking artistic license again. You know, like he's a fucking loose cannon, Dave, a man on the edge. You take no Rambo. But then, anyway, fast forward to that. When he goes to the fucking girl's house, who's the druggie, and that poor guy's there, opens the door, and he's got this weird... I don't know if it's drugged or he's got drawing on his chest, and Hogan just chins him in his undies. It's like, you've walked into his house, whatever he is, whether he's a drug dealer or not, and just absolutely lays him out, don't you?
Yeah.
There's no need for it at all. But anyway, as you were saying, I'll pass over to you. Where his daughter now works, Dave?
Well, actually, I was hoping to pass over to you because I'm not saying my eyes popped out of my head, but, you know, I thought, I bet Chris is loving a bit of this. I mean, there were some lingering shots, weren't there, on the augmented background dancers, let's say.
Yes, and I would say, Dave, I was very surprised they went down the route because obviously they've shown Ben Cutter's like girlfriend, stroke fiance, and then you've got this blonde girl, and I'm thinking, surely Hogan would have pulled the, she's got to be my love interest. But no, to be fair, it's his daughter, who he's never seen for 20 years, Dave, has he? You know, it's really, really vague and blank how this goes about. And
vague and blank, aka... Never fucking explained.
Never explained. Like, and obviously she is also a bit of a call girl as well, because it intertwines with, we've now just met just before this, you can tell he's the maniacal baddie because he's playing classic piano to the Millionaires Club, Dave, and he's talking to all these posh people in, as you said, a commando-like fucking house he's got, you know, with on stilts and all that. So we know he's the big bad. And then it goes from there where, you know, the mentor that who's got the fucking peg leg and the walking stick, he then gets taken out. The Irish guy reveals himself as fucking, you know, he's part of this classical music, you know, the big bad's like he's his henchman sort of thing. And she then decides to go, doesn't she? She goes with a friend to see him. But ultimately, the baddie tries to rape her. But really, Dave, he's just trying to entice Ben Cutter to come to his house. Best thing you should do with someone, just try and rape the daughter. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous, that plot line. And he uses it in the dialogue. It's so bad.
What about the line, though? He says something about, he's going to want me more than I want him.
Yeah, no.
Like, interesting.
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's so bizarre. And then on the pretext of this, you've got this Dean who obviously wants a bit with Hogan's daughter now, don't he? He from nowhere, he's got a fucking absolute action man haircut, Annie. This guy looks about.
I was thinking Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
Well, yeah,
if I'm
it
honest.
Is a Lloyd. Yeah, it is a Lloyd. It's like welded to his head, and they put that much fucking hair products on. And none of his lines hit because he's supposed to be like the conscience of Ben Cutter, isn't he? You know, he's trying to get his fucking trust. He's trying to like show him you don't have to be so aggressive and all this. And then when she gets away, she shows she's got a bit of Cutter in her though, Dave, because she knees him, doesn't she? And she legs it through the forest in high heels that one of his speckled guys cannot catch.
You know, that pissed me off. She fucking legs it out the door in high heels. And I say legs it, obviously runs as quickly as you possibly physically can in high heels. And then, like you say, the henchman comes back. Oh, yeah, she's gone. There's no way I was catching her in the forest. And I'm thinking, what? In the forest? She's running through with her high heels. And you can't fucking catch her. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, the whole thing with the expensive egg that, you know, she threw away and it landed. It fell in the water kind of thing. I thought, that's a bit bizarre. Did sort of remind me a bit, Chris, of the dad in No Retreat, No Surrender 3, I'm not going to lie.
Fucking Alexander Brothers. I love that film so much. Oh, I love it. It's fucking brilliant. But you're right about the No Retreat, No Surrender, because this is filmed when they're just doing dialogue. It's filmed like an what they call it, a Hallmark fucking real cheap, real shitty afternoon movie. You know, a proper throwaway movie. Or beyond, there are a lot of them on Channel 5 in the afternoons. Because Hogan's daughter has got this proper Joan Collins Vaseline look across her face. Like, in, you know, when she's talking and they zoom in on the blonde girl, she's got this proper Dynasty fucking hue about her, haven't they?
Got a bit of a Heather Locklear look to her,
she's
felt like.
Pretty girl, very pretty. And I think when that happens and she does a runner and she goes to cut her, he ends up back at his house with his very strange girlfriend. And he says something to her and he's like, proposes, doesn't he, dead flippantly. And she's like, you want me? Oh, yeah, you're going to propose to me when I'm dressed like this. Yeah. And he goes, and he looks at her and she goes, I accept. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? What is going on? She was about to fucking pack all her bags and then she fucking next minute, she's like, yeah, come to me, we're getting married. And honestly, you know, the favourite bit of the movie for me was when they go to the old woman's house, the granny or whatever, who's had a go at him, you know, after 20 years and all this, and the daughter's there. And then they have that shootout, the drive-by. And that guy gets out of the top of the fucking sunroof and he takes an age to point his guns at him. And he's turned, I'm doing it now, I know you can't see me, but he's turning and turning. They fire, Cutter grabs her, gets the woman down. But Cobra is impenetrable to bullets. He trusts that this guy cannot shoot both guns. And he follows him like RoboCop, doesn't he? He follows him like RoboCop until he gets a clear sight and then fucking shoots the guy right across the fuck and kills the driver. But what's weird is he goes over to the car and the other guy, who he thinks he's dead, he starts doing this weird thing like putting the gun in the fucking, I'm doing it now, he's pointing the gun and pushing it towards the guy who's dead. And he keeps, and it's like he's missed his cue and they've said, right, do this. And he keeps doing it like they're trying to reshoot it and then walks off like he's Dirty Harry. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then the guy isn't even dead. He didn't check the other guy. He's fucking not dead and gets in the police car, doesn't he? It's fucking ridiculous to chase him.
There was a few moments where, you know, just like when Hogan goes to the big bads, I think it is, and then he's kind of, he just gives someone a crack and that's it. They're finished then. They're on the floor. They're out of the way and he's on to the next person. It's like, pretty sure they're getting back up again and you know, going to become a problem later on. But, Chris, I just want to stick on Cobra for a bit because, I mean, when they go round to the house or flat or whatever, and it's his daughter's friend who is killed off.
Yeah, Terminator style, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the lighting and everything. And then we get the camera shot, and you can see there's like a flannel. So like the head is closest to the camera, and then Cutter and Cobra are on the far side of the room. She obviously looks kind of half naked or something. And then they walk in. So if you think about the angle that they're looking at, right? I mean, you can't see. I mean, even we couldn't see the face because there was a flannel over it. And then Cobra's like, oh, is that, you know, and he's going to say his daughter. And he's like, no, that's a friend. And I'm like, but how can you see? How can you see from all the way over there? And the face is covered. It doesn't make no sense. And then it said, and I'm sure he says something like, that's a dad with her or something on the floor next to her. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening there? But honestly, Chris, this Cobra casting just did my head in for the whole way through, but none more so than when they're in the bar.
Oh my God.
And he's doing his Simon Says piece.
Yeah.
And Simon Says, look left, look right, look behind you. And he just does. It's like a child has written this script in crayon. And he's like, oh, what is it? You know, no, Simon Says, I should duck or whatever he says. And then Hogan gives Brutus the Beefcake a big, you know, he gives his pie face a good fucking crack. And it seemed to go on, that scene, for an age. And again, I'm just not buying that this fucking Paul Simon lookalike is handy at all. I mean, Chris, you and I obviously like to work out and go to the gym. And I'm literally looking at him and thinking, I think I could take him.
I think you could. I honestly think you could. That's the problem. Is Brutus Beefcake obviously got a broken nose from early in the movie, and at the time he was one of Hulk Hogan's greatest friends, Bruce Bad Beefcake, because he would pop up in the wrestling, and everyone's like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, Hogan's pulled his best mate, his training partner in the gym." They don't speak now. He's got a new wife, and he's been trying to reach out. Hogan don't speak to him. Yeah, he don't speak to him at all.
Do we know why?
Well, it's something to do with his new wife. Hogan says it in that interview with Theo Von, like, they won't speak, and his wife had done this promo the other week. It was proper cringe, doing a Hogan promo saying, "Contact him, he misses you," and all this. But they were training partners for years, them two. But there was also rumours, Dave, by his ex-wife Linda, that they were more than training partners. Let's just leave it at that. That was a rumour debunked by Mr. Hogan, but he's been accused of that a few times over the years. So that's what they said, but they just don't speak. They don't speak now. So I'll leave it at that. But he's massive compared to fucking Cobra.
Yeah.
When he chins him, Hogan, and then he gets him on the down, you can see that. They've caught him elbowing like Brutus a couple of times, but put it as so he elbows him about three times to knock him out. Really, while Hogan's fighting, there's another guy that's bigger than taller than Hogan, but he just looks like a basketball player. And Hogan just keeps fucking punching him, doesn't he, and like laying everyone out. And then eventually we get the cliche martial arts guy who's like a foot smaller, gives Hogan a bit of a beat, and then Hogan just fucking throws him like he's B.A. Baracus and just fucking runs him for about 30 feet, doesn't he, across the fucking
But
bar.
The thing is, all I can think now, Chris, is, what was it, Kurt Sloan from Kickboxer?
Yeah, yeah.
He's just saying, stop with that tippy-tappy shit. Power! You know, yeah. Didn't work out that well for him. But his advice, I think, is apt here, because... You know, the kung fu guy, he literally gives a few Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, tappy kicks, doesn't he? He's like, give you a little kick to the left, give you a little kick to the right. And I'm like, yeah. Well, that is not going to do anything. Because he's got no momentum behind him at all. And then, like you say, that's a good one, that B.A. Baracus just fucking throws him. The old A-team, oh yeah, throwing someone, that's a good way to take them out.
Physically impossible, but that's a good way to...
I tell you what, Chris, I was waiting all the way through this movie. I said I don't really like it, Hogan's style or whatever, but I'm thinking, is he going to fucking leg drop someone at some point here?
Oh, they get with the voice that's hulking up, fucking doing like you said, doing the lips and everything, and the fucking his wig falls off as he's shaking his head and getting his mad up and stuff. Yeah, it's You know what though, Dave? I've got to say, I'm going to go on record and say this. I think there's a scene in this is one of the best scenes ever in an action movie, right? And you're going to go, fuck up, just because it is utterly, utterly ridiculous. So when they have him, they go to Cutter's house, don't they? Ultimately. And you've got this massive showdown of them all together. And, you know, the baddie, they've got the girl, his daughter, his missus is there. And she, and before that, his missus had, like, you know, met his daughter and all this shit. So they're having this, like, proper standoff. And fucking Cobra gets shot in the arm, right? Next to a 4x4, fucking pickup truck, right? And he hits the deck, and Cobra's got a sniper rifle now, Dave. He's got a fucking Car 98 or whatever it is, fucking sniper, which is so heavy and hard to control. And as the guy who shot as the fucking guy's about to shoot fucking Cobra, and he's lay on the floor, Cobra, right, he's lay on his side, he's looking in the side mirror of this fucking truck, which is on the floor, God. And he's got the fucking sniper rifle across his body facing away, so the actual muzzle of the gun is sort of under his armpit. And as the guy comes, he smiles for an age as he's looking at the guy in the reflection and presses fire and shoots him dead. It is the greatest shot I have ever seen in a movie. How? There's no physics in that at all. It just looked ridiculous. But I rewound that bit. I was like, that is just genius. That is dumb. It's ridiculous.
Fucking hell. It's like it's a combination of Martin Riggs and John Virgo.
And it's the fact that he's smiling in the rearview mirror, on the wing fucking mirror, which is on the floor of this pickup truck, and he's got the right angle to shoot this guy dead. Oh, honestly, I'm fucking pissing myself at that. I thought that was one of the greatest bits of this movie.
Yeah. I didn't rewind it, but I was like, you know when you, again, you fucking scroll down Twitter or X, Chris, and you sort of see the same reoccurring kind of memes and GIFs and stuff. Well, pick any confused GIF you like and apply it to that, yeah, to my face watching that scene. Because I'm just like, but surely the guy's seeing him, see, you know, you're looking right at him in the mirror. And it's like, wouldn't you be on your guard? Wouldn't you just think, oh, you know what? I'm going to fucking pop a cap in your head sort of thing. You know, it just made no sense to me at all. But, of course, Cobra, he is a badass. And I'll tell you what we've not called out, Chris, is the whole, you know, like G.I. Joe type feel to it as well. You know, the fact that he's Hardball and he's Cobra. Kind of thing. Obviously, Cobra, they were the baddies in G.I. Joe, weren't they? And I thought, you know, is that an actual thing from real life? You know, do Navy SEALs have these code names? I mean, obviously, if you're talking over the airwaves, you don't want to be using your real name, but they very easily slip between fucking Hardball and Cutter, you know, and Ben Cutter saying his whole name, like you say, multiple times throughout the movie. But yeah, I did wonder if that was a little bit of a, again, another rip-off, but from G.I. Joe this time.
It could be. And funny enough, Dave, have you seen the new Transformers movie? I've literally just watched it last week.
Yeah.
So I didn't realise they were linked within the same universe. That's all I'll say.
Spoiler alert. I think that's right at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that goes back to the cartoons. But
it does,
I think,
Hasbro, yeah. I think
I think they're trying to create, like, since the MCU... Like, did it?
Like a multiverse.
I think everyone's trying to think, oh, yeah, connected universes, that's the way to go. Right, so I wonder if they're trying to do that. But, I mean, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? I still want, Chris, I want a resurrection of Mask. And we did talk ages
fucking
ago. You know, we
Mask.
Should do a little side project of, like, cartoons, you know, for those Saturday morning cartoons we grew up with.
Love
Mask. Mask was fucking great, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely. I went against you, didn't I, with Comics v Comics, Heroes, and I had Mask, what's he called? I can't remember his bloody name now. The main guy who had the red car, the flying car.
Yeah, they had Mask, brilliant. And also there was a similar one, wasn't it? Was it something like Centurions or something like that?
I had the Centurion in my argument with you as well.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
I mean, the thing is, I went for the big hitters. I went for like Optimus Prime or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'd gone like obscure stuff just to throw you off the scent. Yeah. I still lost anyway. Anyway, let's move on, Dave. I didn't lose really, but there was some dodgy fucking scoring going down.
It was more the taking part, Chris. It was good to take a step down memory lane, but.
It was good.
Even
it was
better
good
for me to win, though. Yeah, I agree.
Whatever. So, at the end, Dave, we do get a Lethal Weapon 1 bit where Martin Riggs is getting electrocuted by, that guy with the fucking sponge bit. Mr. Joshua is there. And as he leaves him, he goes, I'm going to leave you now. And he leaves. And obviously, we get the whole bit where he escapes and that. Well, pretty similar. Hogan's trussed up there. Some of the worst acting ever. Hulk Hogan is a fucking awful actor. I think he peaked in Rocky 3 when he was doing the picture with Adrian and fucking young Rocky and that. You know what I mean? He seemed quite normal then, but his acting is awful. But ultimately, he takes fucking names, Dave. Absolutely takes names, takes everyone out. It's bullshit this bit as well because he fires the gun and there's no, the cartridge actually kicks back, so there's no bullets left in it. But the next scene as he runs, he's got fucking full ammo and shooting people with his handgun. It's ridiculous. The fucking whole thing is ridiculous at the end. It makes no sense, but it goes with the whole detail of the movie that we've just fucking watched. It just makes Hogan look like he's the fucking T-800 or something. It's just ridiculous.
But the thing is, like, you know, right at the end, and we'd seen the setup, hadn't we? So Hogan in his barn, he's got this little mine, you know, that his daughter steps on. He's like, hold on, you know, I need to just deactivate this. So we thought, right, that's going to, you know, come back a bit later. And sure enough, it does, because the big bad, you know, he's got his daughter, but he steps on the mine and then she gets away. Chris, it's like it finishes there. Like, he's literally still stood on there. And they walk off like it's the outro to an episode of Baywatch or something. And they're all like laughing and joking. But it's like, he's still there. He's still alive. And I know he's rooted there at the minute. But, you know, if he's one of his henchmen or something, I guess, you know, he didn't have a mobile phone back then. And, you know, I'm still thinking he's a bit of a threat. And you shouldn't just be wandering off like it's the wrap-up to Police Squad. And you get this guy, don't you? He's kind of driving his car and then sure enough takes him out A-team style. You know, you get the stunt going into the barn and the big explosions and everything. I think for me that was the point when you could sort of say, oh, right, he's dead. Fuck, my whole livelihood and my barn is in tatters, and start crying and thinking, how are you going to claim on the insurance for that? But yeah, I just thought that ending was just a little bit weird as well.
It was, you're right, because I've never seen someone celebrate while he's still alive. And then we get an A-team bit. That van, the physics again, it's an A-team fucking car crash, in it, and blows up the whole thing. And like you say, Cutter's fucking live. His missus, who's been moaning about his lifestyle, she's like, oh, wow, that's me fucked now, isn't it, for the rest of the day? Just bizarre, Dave. A bizarre movie that just ends so abruptly. I mean, I'm glad I've picked it, because we've not had such a shit show of a movie for ages. But yeah. Unbelievable.
You know, and I certainly don't want to get political, because that's not what we do here, and we prefer to take the piss, but I thought it was interesting that the bad guys were these IRA gunrunners.
Yeah, it was a weird choice, that, because 98 wasn't, there was no peace treaty then when they decided to go down this route.
Well, 98 was the Good Friday Agreement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like it was only the 2000s where we really had peace, and it's made me want to go back. I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, it's distasteful on both sides, I think. You know, I mean, you and I grew up and, you know, we had fucking nothing to do with it. But I remember, you know, being evacuated from places, you know, threats and stuff and bombings. There was obviously the Arndale Centre in Manchester, wasn't there? There was the fucking Warrington one as well. And, you know, the way these things were set up was, you know, set, the one in Warrington was set off one, have everyone running in the other direction, set off one where everyone was running, and you're just thinking, fucking hell, you know, it's horrendous. But then you look at, you know, history, and it's like, well, fucking hell, you know, you would fight your corner, wouldn't you? Yeah. But it's made me want to go back and look, you know, more into this and kind of where the US was around this time, because I think, you know, there was a lot of funding that came from the US. And I just thought, well, the sentiment where this movie is, you know, it's obviously, you know, it's a bit anti-IRA, isn't it? Which it honestly surprised me.
Yeah, I don't know why. You don't get movies about that unless you've actually researched the subject matter. And that's it. It's a proper, well, literally a bit of a pun, but it's a minefield, Dave, with stuff like that. Yeah. So to tackle it in a fucking B straight to video thing was quite unusual. Maybe because nobody fucking watched it. It wasn't that controversial. But
well, there is that. But there's the one with, you possibly never seen it, but I'm sure, wasn't it Devil's Own with Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt?
Yeah, there's one with Richard Gere as well, about the IRA.
There's Gere in there.
Not that one, but there's another one about the IRA as well. The Jackal. Is it the Jackal? I'm sure he's like some Irish assassin and stuff.
Right. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's just, like I say, it's just made me want to go back and research a bit more. I spend a little bit of time in Ireland now, and, you know, I drove past one of the there's a stadium, I should remember the name of it now, but, you know, again, there's some really fucking distasteful things that kind of went on in the build-up to, you know, the kind of troubles and that. So, no, it's just, like I say, it's interesting stuff. But, Chris, shall we get into our final review?
Some would say, thank God. Yes, let's go. So, Dave, I had to pick this. It's just a ridiculous nonsense movie. Again, my choices this year have been a disgrace to the podcast. I will hold my hands up. I actually quite enjoyed it. I don't think, I mean, it's an hour and a half long. It's fucking terrible in that respect. Hogan's wig is awful. The fact that he's used artistic license throughout the movie just to make himself look so fucking tough. He doesn't get shot. Anybody who stands in front of him, there's no threat to him as a person. It's not like he's got someone else who's massive in front of me. It's not like he's got, you know, Bennett, you know, fucking Commando. YMCA
fucking
Bennett.
Crochet.
He had Cobra's fucking arms on him, didn't he? Fucking saucer hot dog arms. Yeah. But you know, you're not like you've got someone who's bigger than him or poses a threat. But in the same respect, it's watchable to a point. It's watchable because it's just fucking stupid. And like you said before, I think you're right. It just feels familiar because it's been it's basically ripped off every action movie that's come before it. Anything that's got any sort of traction or, you know, it's in the public eye, they've nicked it and they've tried. Even the music at times, the score is Lethal Weapon, Terminator, 100%. So I think I'll put it there, and I did this last week, but I'm going to put it in Elm Street. I don't know whether I'd watch it again. I got it downloaded on my phone, actually, because I was worried that the curse of our podcast would take it off there and we'd have to pay for it. But I'll probably delete it after this. But yeah, just to watch Hogan's wig and some of his overacting is worth it. I would genuinely say that. So what about yourself, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, anyone listening to us wouldn't have thought we'd have enjoyed this at all, but there is something enjoyable about it. I do feel like it is a bit boring. There's something off with the pacing. And it's only like an hour and a half movie, isn't it? So proper sweet spot for a movie back in the day. I think, you know, because it is such a rip-off and it's not very good, but I do feel like there is a place in the world for movies like this. You know, the straight-to-video, it's a rip-off something else. I mean, it very much feels like an 80s movie because of all the things it's ripped off. But, you know, you think about it, it's 98, and you're like, Christ, you're still making, you know, these types of movies then. I mean, you've got, you know, The Matrix comes out the next year, doesn't it? And it feels like a lifetime away from this one. But no, I think there is definitely something there. And I think if you do have, you know, a bit of time, you know, you want something a bit mindless, you know, and you haven't seen it before, like I say, it's on Prime. I can't imagine this is one they're going to take off because I can't imagine you know, the royalties or anything, you know, more than a few cents on the dollar. So I just think that it's definitely watchable, but not great. And it doesn't have any of those, you know, The Room or Samurai Cop sort of moments where it's just utterly ridiculous, you know. So it doesn't hit those heights, you know, so bad it's good, but it is kind of watchable. And I feel slightly bad because I feel like Anguish last week we did for Matt. I feel like, you know, that was an Elm Street for both of us as well, but for very different reasons. You know, there's something really creatively interesting about this, whereas this is the opposite end of that scale, isn't it, for creativity? But I do feel like it is watchable, and the fucking Arnie style flat top wig, you know, like you say, that's worth the price of admission on its own, isn't it? So, yeah, Elm Street for me as well. Like I say, very different Elm Street than last week, but that's where I'd have it. Definitely doesn't deserve an Alderaan. You know, it should be out there. There should be a place in the universe for, you know, not very good straight to video action movies, and this is squarely in the middle of that.
You're very kind there, Dave. Anyway, it's your pick, Dave. So what are we doing next week?
So we are recording a little bit ahead because I'm going to be off, aren't I, in Greece shortly. Hopefully it's not still on fire. But we've talked many times about fucking Jaws and being scarred by watching that at far too young an age and just never really getting over that. I mean, I would love to be able to go snorkeling in the sea and see some of the wonders that are down there and what have you, but I spend most of my time just shit scared of sharks. And we spoke about last week, as soon as that thought enters your head where you need a 360-degree eyesight, you need to be able to see all around you and you're in the water and you're just thinking, if a shark gets me now, you know, I'm fucked. So I have this weird love-hate relationship with the sharks. And so I thought, after we spoke last week, I thought, you know what, I'm going to change my pick. I was thinking of a couple of others. I think at some point I'd love to go and do Life of Brian. You know, I just love that movie, and there's certain scene about noses which I was going to linger on a bit. But this one, Chris, is more around sharks, but not just sharks, not just great white sharks, but fucking genetically enhanced smart sharks. And this one, Chris, stars Thomas Jane, Samuel L. Jackson, and many others. This one, Chris, is Deep Blue Sea. Now let's get into the trailer.
Tell me, Mr. Franklin, have you ever known anyone with Alzheimer's?
No.
What if you could end all that suffering with a single pill? Give me till Monday morning, 48 hours. I'll give you results that'll skyrocket your stock price.
In the most advanced research facility in the world.
It's about Alzheimer's. This one can take a turn, doesn't it?
Beneath its glassy surface.
Great film,
a world of gliding monsters.
Yeah. I watched it for a long time.
Specialists is working against the clock.
Did someone order the fish?
On an experiment to benefit
fucking Michael Rapaport.
Sharks never show any loss of brain activity as they age.
We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
But before they can save millions of lives...
Tell me I didn't see that. They recognize that gun.
It's impossible. Sharks do not swim backwards. They can't.
They'll have to find a way to save their own.
In LL Cool J, the cook, Dave.
He is, yeah, with his parrot.
Yeah. Definitely went cinema to watch this, me and Sam.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, fuck my life.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Gain anxiety now, you bastard.
Yeah.
Did you feel so?
You're not the one who's going to be fucking coaxed into the sea by your kids.
What is that?
As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Somebody, please, tell me what that is.
Next has just come out, hasn't it? And I
yeah,
think that's,
watch that.
I want to watch that.
Well, tracking film this.
I have honestly no idea why I do it to myself. Like I say, I'm about to... Chris, maybe if we don't record another episode, I've been eaten by a shark, and I'll deserve it for picking this one out. But yeah, it's just... I don't know what it is. Like I say, my Facebook reels, my Instagram reels and everything always pepper me with like fucking shark attacks or shark sightings. And, you know, I saw one the other week. It was like a shark, and it was like literally in the paddling sort of shallow waters. And you got all the beachgoers and like someone is out there like swimming and the shark is circling them. I'm like, fuck this.
Right. You know what?
Isn't there a pool?
So bizarre.
A pool bar?
Sorry.
Yes. Let's have that one.
Yeah. I swear to you, on my life, it's so bizarre. Obviously, Meg 2's come out, so I'm so pleased you've picked this. But a friend of mine who I work with this lad, right, and I'm good friends with his dad, lives around the corner. He put a picture on Facebook on Friday, I am not lying to you, of his son, Jack, in Australia, doing like a paddleboarding. So he's got the full wetsuit on, and he said, and this is Jack, and it's like a Facebook memory, and it's from 2017. Now, Jack, funny enough, works health and safety at my place, Dave, but Jack's looking at the camera, smiling, and in the background, I'll send you the picture, it's a shark's fin. And he went, and it's at this point that they all got turned back to fucking, back to the coat. I swear to you on my life, I saw it the other day, and I was getting anxiety. I was like, holy shit. And it's like a film. It's like a film. And he went, oh, they all got moved back, ushered back. I'm going to send it you actually now. Here it is. Right, here we are, Dave. What's this? This is no bullshit. So it's not like I knew you were going to do this. Just send you this. Jack don't listen to the podcast, so we're all right. Right, I've sent you that. Just have a look at that live in the podcast, what I've just sent you. That is not a lie.
Might come yet. Oh, fuck that.
Does that look like Jaws? Doesn't that look like Jaws?
Hey, look at me on my holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, California he is. Sorry. Jackie's on the Australian League of his school rugby tour. Oh, my God, Dave. That is at that point you would shit your pants.
I mean, that boat, it's like a little kayak thing, isn't it? I mean, you're fucked if it decides. I mean, that's the thing. They say, you know, if sharks attack you, if the great whites attack you, it's because, you know, they mistake you for food and we don't taste very nice to them. And it's like, well, I know, you know that might be the case, but they might mistake you. And so, you know, if they decide they're going to have a go at you, you know, you're fucked. You literally got no fucking chance. You're in their arena, and you are screwed. But that is a shocker, that one, because they say like the paddling, like the splashing, is what attracts them, because you look like a, you know, a wounded seal or something. So a kayak, probably not a great place to be. I'd be oh fucking hell, I don't even know. Like my anxiety is through the roof, and I'm thinking, how would I paddle? Because I know that I don't want to splash, but also every fucking cell in my body would be wanting to fucking paddle as quickly as I could. Oh, that's horrible. A shocker, that, mate.
Yeah, it is. So thank you, mate, and I'm so pleased that you've told me all this, because I'll be sending you every Jaws fucking meme possible over the next 10 days. no, big thanks, as always, to everyone. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour for today is Mr. Tony Farina, John Hammond, Blake, Maths, Jack, Herb, Lucky Lulu Green, Kent Gustafson, Heath, Matt, Timothy, Susan, Justin, come on, Chris, come on, Chris, Dan, Trent, Stephen, Dylan, Helen, and Lee. So thank you so much for all your support, guys. Amazing stuff as always. And soon to be Patreon picks, Dave. But I mean, I have wasted my pick yet again, my friend. But I enjoyed talking to you today. So there you go.
Well, come on. I mean, you were going for something that was terrible. So, you know, you surely weren't expecting, oh, this could be a bit of a gem. You know, this fucking movie that no one's ever heard of.
No, but I love it when you're going mad and you weren't going mad. I love it when you're like, fuck off, Chris. Why have you picked this? It's not one of them, Dave. So I still have to my work to do that one to you. But Dave, I've had a look on IMDb at quotes, and there is one fucking quote from the whole movie. One quote. And all Cutter says is, when he has a fight, I think it's in the strip club, he just simply says, "Don't piss me off." And that's all he says, Dave. And that's all I've got for you. I've got nothing about this fucking... I mean, I could sing Hulk Hogan's theme tune, which, funny enough, my brother yesterday rang me and started fucking singing full blast while he's working. He was driving his van. Hulk Hogan's "I'm a Real American" fucking tune. Because he rang me and went, "Hey, Hogan." I went, "What?" And then I'm trying to talk to him, like, serious. And he's going, "When it comes crashing down." And I'm going, and he sang the whole fucking song, literally, a minute. And I'm pissing myself laughing. And Sam's looking at me going, "What are you laughing at?" I went, "Javier's fucking singing Hulk Hogan's song. Rick Dillinger's the guy who sings it. I've got it on my iTunes." I was like, "You're a dickhead." And he's going, "You gotta take a stand." And I'm like, "Shut the fuck up. What do you want?" And he's just singing it full fucking blast in his van, the dickhead, with no music. He's just singing it a cappella, Dave. So anyway, there you go.
Well, should we finish off on that music then? It's probably apt.
Let's do it.
So thank you very much, guys. Thank you, sir. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
Build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off. You up. Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.